In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus put out his hand and touched him and said, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy was cleansed. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And Jesus said to the centurion, go your way. As you have believed, so let it be done for you. This is the word of the Lord. Miracles abound in the readings for this third Sunday after the Epiphany of our Lord. This leper that came to Jesus was cleansed of his leprosy by the word and touch of Jesus. The centurion's servant was dreadfully tormented, and by a word, Jesus visited him and healed him. In the Old Testament reading, by a word, dip seven times in the Jordan River and you will be cleansed. The centurion, or the servant, by the name of Naaman the leper, was cleansed. Miracles abound in the readings for the third Sunday after the Epiphany. What is the greatest miracle, do you suppose? Are there miracles present that we haven't even noted? Consider in the Old Testament reading the cleansing of Naaman the leper, a commander of the army of Syria who is described as a man of valor, but he was a leper. He had gone on raids into the land of Israel. Israel was weak at this point. It is not far away from the northern kingdom of Israel being carried away into captivity. And Naaman brings back a slave girl from the land of Israel to tend to his wife. And the slave girl says to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet in Israel, he would heal him of his leprosy. I submit to you that the miracle of faith in the heart of that girl who was made a slave of the man who abducted her is as great a miracle as the cleansing of leprosy itself. It is the miracle of faith. And faith has as its object the undeserved love of God, the mercy of God. You and I speak of this as emanating from Jesus' suffering and death, whereby he touched the leprosy of our sin and said, I am willing to make all of your sin and death and corruption my own and to go to the cross on your behalf. We don't deserve it. We have done nothing to earn it, our position, our status, our money, our wealth. And yet he is willing in love for us to assume the corruption and the leprosy of sin into himself. It is the miracle of God's grace that caused that little servant girl to love her captor. Amazing. And notice what the miracle of faith does. It turns her outside of herself and her own needs and considers the needs of Naaman the leper ahead of her own. What kind of radical faith is this? That's a miracle. It is a miracle of God's grace. And that miracle of God's grace was evident in the other servants too. Elisha, not wanting Naaman to trust at all in his works, sends his servant, dip 7 times in the Jordan and you will be cleansed. He gives him a word, and the word is the source of life. But Naaman became furious. And then there were the servants of Naaman himself. They had heard this word. They knew why they were going to the land of Israel. They had heard this word. They were sent by Elisha from the king to Elisha. They heard the word as the servant came and said, dip 7 times in the Jordan. And they said, Master, if he had asked you to do something great, to give all your money, your silver, and your gold, and these royal changes of precious fabric, would you not have done it? How much more when he says, wash and be clean? You see, the miracle of faith had been wrought in them as well. And then there's the gospel. It's not the Jews, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but it's a centurion, a Gentile commander of 100 troops whose servant is dreadfully tormented, and he comes to Jesus and he says to him, Lord, if you are willing, you can come and heal my servant. He's at home, dreadfully tormented. And the centurion says in response to Jesus, I will come and heal him. Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. It is evident in the gospel for today. It is evident in the servants of those who directed Naaman the leper to the word of God that gave life, spoken by Elisha, that the gospel had touched the hearts of these people. The leper who is cleansed by Jesus didn't come to him out of the blue. It is Jesus preaching of mercy, the likes of which he had never heard before. Certainly not from the Pharisees. They were full of self-righteousness and pride, and they directed people to rely upon themselves. That leper had heard the mercy of God proclaimed by Jesus, and he came, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. The centurion, who had lived in an environment as a Roman soldier, seeing the scribes and the Pharisees and the elders of the people despise the Gentiles, he had heard the gospel and a message of God's love in Christ that he hadn't heard anywhere else. And the miracle of faith was wrought in him, so that just like that little servant girl in the Old Testament reading, that little servant girl who thought more of her captor than she did of herself, if only my master were with the prophet, he would heal him. It is as if she were saying, if only my master were with the prophet, he would speak the saving word of God to him. He would rescue him by this word from all of his sins, the leprosy of the disease of the soul, and he would make him well. So in the gospel, the centurion thinks more of his dreadfully tormented servant than he does of himself. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, these are miracles that we don't often think of. It's the spectacular signs of the cleansing of lepers. But it's just that, it's a sign. Leprosy is a sign of the corruption that abides within all of us. The corruption of sin from which we are utterly powerless to set ourselves free. The centurion in the gospel came to believe that message, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. But speak a word and your servant will be healed. For all power resides in your word that gives life and healing and strength and renewal and faith and hope, and a word that turns us outside of ourselves to think of others ahead of ourselves, to bear their burdens, to shoulder their infirmities. These are great miracles. But they don't emanate from our own hearts. They emanate from a heart that has been touched by the gospel of God's grace. What are the greatest miracles? The miracle of repentance and faith. At the heart of repentance is the death to self. What had to die in Naaman the leper in the Old Testament that he would receive the word that gave him life? The same thing that has to die in us. And it happens over and over and over and over again as our flesh is crucified and the old Adam in us is drowned and dies. And by the power of a forgiving word, we are raised to new life. The miracle of God's word wrought faith in the servants in the Old Testament reading. The miracle of God's word brought to death, finally, crucified the flesh of Naaman the leper, so he let go of all of his gold, all of his silver, his position, his wealth, his accomplishments, and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a child. And it was the word that not only cleansed the leper in the gospel reading for today as it cleansed Naaman in the Old Testament reading, but by the word of God, the centurion had compassion on his servant and laid his need before the Lord Jesus. Self-righteousness, pride, arrogance, all of which militates against faith in the grace of God in Christ, must die in us as well. It is why we come here, that the old Adam in us might be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, so that by the power of the gospel, the new man might come forth and arise. St. Paul exhorts us in the epistle for today, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. St. Paul describes what the miracle of faith looks like in the hearts and lives of his people. The things that he describes are wholly impossible for us. But with God, all things are possible. Like a servant girl made a slave, who thinks more of her master and his spiritual welfare than she does of herself. Or the centurion, who cried out to Jesus in true faith, "I am not willing, but speak a word, and your servant will be healed." He is willing to take your sin and mine, all of the self-righteousness and pride and arrogance of unbelief and self-worship, and to make it his own, which he has in his suffering and death, that through the word of his forgiving grace, we might be raised to new life again and again and again, and the miracles of faith might be wrought forth in us. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.